Excuse me, recordings have started.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone, and welcome to the CCWG new GTLD auction proceeds call held on the 27th of July, 2017. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call as we have quite a few participants. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. If you are only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourself be known now? And I do have Xavier Calvez noted. Okay, hearing no more names, I would like to remind all to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes, and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I will now turn it back over to Erica. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Julie. Welcome to everybody, and I see we have quite many on the call, which is wonderful. It's in July, end of July, and still so many on the call. I really do appreciate this. The first item would be question, the typical standard question, do we need anybody who wants to make an announcement update on the conflict of interest declaration? No? Okay, fine. And please keep in mind, any time you think a change is needed, please review it online and just feel free totally to do it yourself. Point three, or let me do one before because I'm pretty sure I will forget it. It's nothing totally serious, but Dietmar Steffitz, who was with us from the beginning, he's not feeling very well, but he doesn't want anybody to know this. But I would love to send him just a quick note in the name from all of us that we wish him all the best and hope to have him back very soon. I'm pretty sure you all agree. I just wanted to let you know, and if somebody doesn't agree, please let me know. I should not do this. Otherwise, I go ahead in the name of our group. Okay, thank you so much. I'm sure you feel comfortable with this. Don't send him individual, only if you know him. He's really not feeling well, so, but I'm sure, I know he would appreciate to hear from us. Okay, thanks so much. With this to topic three, which is the review to the responses to charter question seven and the discussion we need about the next step. For introduction, I hand over to Marika. She always has the best overview. And Marika, please just give us a short introduction where we are on charter question seven and what we have to discuss and to decide. And I see we will have the slides coming up pretty soon. Marika, please, to you.
Thanks, Erica. Yeah, I'm just pulling up the information from the survey. This is Marika.
Yeah, and I open it as well. Yeah.
This is maybe as well to briefly note, because as you may recall, during the last meeting, we discussed both charter question four and charter question seven, but we're actually going to come back to charter question four during our next meeting, during which we'll also have an overview by Xavier Calvez on investment management at the request of some of you as part of when we discussed that question last time around. So now looking at charter question seven, as you may recall, we reviewed this, we had an initial review during the last meeting, but there were relatively few responses received, so we left the survey open for another week to allow for additional members and participants to respond. As a brief reminder, this question deals with the issue of whether ICANN, the organization, should oversee the solicitation and evaluation of proposals, or whether this should be delegated to another entity or a new to be created entity. So I think as you see now, and hopefully you had a chance to review the results, it does appear that a majority of responses is of the view that it should not be ICANN organization that is responsible for the solicitation as well as evaluation of the proposals. Again, this is based on the responses that were received in response to the survey, which is a total of 18 members and participants that participated in this. But if you then also look at, because then the question was broken down into the question of whether it should be a newly to be created entity that would be responsible for solicitation as well as evaluation of proposals, or whether an existing entity might be suitable or should be considered. There, the views were more split and almost evenly broken down between the respondents. So I guess the question is now how to move forward on this question. There was well quite a number of comments that have been submitted. One option obviously would be focusing now or honing in on the assumption that indeed it should not be ICANN, the organization as such, that would be directly responsible for the solicitation as well as evaluation of proposals. But I'm actually looking at the question, is it something that should be taken care of potentially through an existing entity or structure, or should it be a newly to be created structure? And as a reminder as well, of course, just because ICANN, the organizations wouldn't be directly responsible as part of legal and fiduciary requirements, there would, of course, always be the need and the responsibility of ICANN to be involved in some oversight function. And then also linked to this question was the question of whether the ICANN community should be involved in the solicitation and evaluation of proposals. And there, the strong majority was of the view that, yes, ICANN community volunteers should be involved in that process. So I hope you all had a chance to look at the responses to the specific question. So indeed, the question is now, how do we move forward from these responses to agreement or preliminary agreement from the CCWG in relation to the specific question?
Thank you, Marika. Does somebody else have some comments? So what I think would be good as a next step, but these are, it's my totally my opinion, which might help to shape your opinions as well. What might be interesting to look into more closely into two scenarios. So one scenario would be the one which are the most favored. So the independent, and I think we can go a step further now and can evaluate what this would mean to create such an independent entity or to work with an existing independent entity. The other option could be, which is still closely connected to the first option, would be to build an independent unit inside of ICANN, which would be shielded from everything else and would exist as long as the money would exist and this kind of fund would exist. So maybe these two scenarios, one could evaluate more closely what it would mean in personnel, in money this would need, the people required for it, et cetera, et cetera. Then the other option for the, we need to evaluate how the monitoring and the oversight for ICANN and the board will function. So the structure for both cases we need to investigate as well. There are different scenarios possible, but one needs to look into it. And then the establishment for the community, the structure. Again, there are different scenarios. It could be a separate board. It could be an advisory board. It could be an advisory whatever structure. But we would have to clarify who comes in which cases. Is it when there's a dispute which arises and the originally responsible structure would not be able to sort out the problem, would it be, that's why I like the name advisory, maybe then the community could help in this case, or what would the community actually do? In a classical fund, where I have experience, they typically would evaluate once a year what was done, the problems which arises, projects which couldn't be solved or which have to be sent back, where they sent back. So the classical evaluation role, which is still close to an advisory role as well, and one could even combine advisory and evaluation. So I think we have to go now a step further, and since we know now we are clearer about what we want, we maybe want to work with two scenarios and have more sub-questions, and then really when we have the upcoming calls with the expert and with Xavier as well, we then can ask these questions more closely. I mean, can ask them how they actually did it and what they advise us to work with. Okay, sorry for the long speech. We have Kavuz and Ching. Kavuz, please. Kavuz, can you hear us?
I'm sorry, Erica. He actually hasn't been, doesn't have audio yet. Maybe can we come back to him?
Okay, then we go to Ching first, and we come back to you in a second.
Thank you, Erica. This is Ching Chao for the recording. And I think it makes sense, and I fully agree the two approaches that you just brought up. And then if we also considering the time factor, meaning that we talked about this and we will talk about this once again maybe later, is about whether it's a one-time exercise or this one-time exercise may last 5 to 10 years or even more. So if we weigh in this time factor, that could lead us to a more clear decision that a separate foundation may not be needed, because once the exercise done, we are done also with the this new entity. So it could be somehow a waste or a duplicate effort if we create a new separate entity for the purpose. So maybe back to your scenarios is that within ICANN, this a subgroup or a committee within ICANN probably makes more sense if we waiting the time factor. Thanks.
Kavuz, are you online now? Kavuz?
I believe the operator is having some difficulty.
Difficulties of getting him?
Yes, correct.
Okay, then we give him a second. I see something here from Mark. Or whether an existing entity should be. Yeah, absolute, Mark. I agree with you. That's part of the first option. Either build a new entity or work with an existing entity. Totally agree. Yeah. So the first cluster would practically have two approaches. Completely new or work with an existing entity. Yeah, agree with you. Would you want to comment on this? Do you have something you want to say, Mark? Or can you only type?
No, I can talk as well.
Wonderful, Mark.
My comment was more that if we use an existing entity, it could also be a number of existing entities.
Yes, we'll make it maybe the oversight a bit more difficult, because then you might need more oversight structures and people. But you're right, it could be different entities as well. Agree, good point. Let's add this to the list.
Okay.
So we would have in the first, we would have built a new independent one, or use an existing one, or use multiple existing ones. And then the second would be use an entity inside, or build an entity, a unit inside of ICANN. Yeah. Okay. Is there anything else somebody would recommend which we should do, which we have missed in the discussion or the debate so far? Sylvia, I see you. Sylvia, please.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Can you hear me?
Yes, very nicely, Sylvia.
Oh, thank you. Now, I'm on the Adobe Connect using the app on my phone. So the operator is unmuting me, so thank you very much for your help. Look, I think it's very different to evaluate proposals that are received rather than the outcome of those proposals if they are accepted, right?
Yes.
So I think that if we can, I mean, I on the survey, and I can reiterate now, I don't see any issues with, let's say, like hiring, let's say, right, an external organization to conduct the solicitation of proposals, because that is basically, you know, like online forms and submissions of paperwork and due diligence, and there are organizations that do that very professionally in the U.S., for example, that or other places in the world that can assist, and that is a big issue around transparency and how the application process works, and starting that from scratch can be very complicated. So there are a variety of organizations that can do that on the solicitation of proposals. Then on the evaluation of proposals, I actually agree with Mark that there could be a range of organizations, and Caboose asked on the chat, how many organizations are we talking about? Well, we don't know, because we don't know what topics are we talking about. There might be organizations that are that have a lot of experience on the technical aspects and can be great to provide assessments about applications itself, while there are other organizations that can support better other parts of other types of proposals that are, you know, on a different subject matter. It would be very difficult to find a one single place that can deal with absolutely everything under the sun. I also have shared on the surveys that we have submitted so far a couple of options that I would like to reinforce now. I think that there are opportunities, for example, to set aside a little bit of the money to support projects, to support core or, activities from organizations that are not linked to projects. And that's a different funding mechanism. So in a similar way, for example, like the National Science Foundation gives grants that are based on a model that is called unrestricted gifts. Those are like donations to organizations which work is key to maintain, for example, the DNS, right? They could be nonprofit organizations that the organization is the one that is vetted. It's not a proposal. And because it is core support, then reporting and all of that is different, because it is not a beginning and an end type of thing. And supporting organizations supports the fabric of which the internet is built on. Very different will be that what will be the process to vet an organization as such to receive core funds, to vet a coalition of organizations that is working on a global project, for example. So I think that although I've been very clear that I don't think we should fund absolutely everything under the sun, what I've been asking is for the list of those mechanisms that are in line with the 503, you know, tax status, so that we know what is out there that we can use. A lot of these questions that we keep asking ourselves about, you know, time and who does this and who does that, are part of those mechanisms. Like if it is a donor, what is the name? Donor match funds. MBF, SBF, if you look at, for example, the Tides Foundation, they have a list of that, those kinds of funds that they manage on behalf of other organizations. But I don't know if those are the ones that apply for what we're doing. So I really think that we need that list of funding mechanisms that are legal funding mechanisms that are in line with the 503 to be able to compare and say which ones are in line with what we're trying to do. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sylvia, and that's very helpful. So let me maybe recommend the following. Maybe we can, Marika, maybe we can do something like we have a list of proposals we haven't discussed yet, but which we want to consider, like the one Sylvia made, which I think it's a good one. And this could be solved in the future about a kind of open tender. You know, once we are there, we could have a 3 months or 4 months, a kind of open tender where we received requests from organizations or which work on the DNS and would ask for a grant which is not related to a specific project. Then this would have to be decided if we want to do it. But we have already two things which we have to decide outside of the questions we are debating right now. So do we want to have this organization independently created outside of ICANN or inside of ICANN? So this is a new one, which I think we would park right now, Sylvia, if you agree. We don't lose it. We don't drop it. We have to come back for it, but we park it. Like we have to park another one, which I don't think so we might be able to discuss today, and maybe we should do it next week when we have the longer discussion about the financials with Xavier, the request, which was yet not yet a formal request, but to help them to replenish the reserve fund. I think this deserves specific attention, and I want to park this as well. So we shouldn't confuse this with the structure we want to build. It's only confusing. So if you agree, we park these two questions, and we will come back to them. So I wonder if we have Caruso with us now. And then there was one from, just I don't want to lose something here. Caruso was asking if it should be, what are we talking about? But Caruso, you can talk about your own point if once you are on. And somebody else, Vale, you said something that there is a need to flesh out the advantages and disadvantages of both internal, external, absolutely. We have to do this, and we should do this in maybe in a survey which we send out again, but maybe we ask this time, maybe how about we do it differently? We ask the maybe Sam and Xavier to fill out the first, maybe to give us a kind of their ideas, how they would approach it, and then we add our comments to what they do. Would you agree to this? Okay, let me go forward, and I watch the comments, and I watch the comments coming in the meantime. Vale, yes, you said yes. Okay, I will wait a little bit longer. We will not close this debate, but I think it might help us. Caruso, are you now operational? Yes. Wonderful. Yes, please, go ahead.
Yeah, I am operational.
Please.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everybody. Yes. I think you are talking of to have some sort of consultations or questionnaire or survey. And this survey, the first question is, would we need to have internal or external? And internal, external should be discussed a little bit. What do we mean by internal and what do we mean by external? And asking if any of the two, please list the advantage and disadvantage. Then internally, between us, the group, you have to decide how many entities we need before going to external people or survey. We should minimize the number of the entities. We should not have a very open number because that would not be cost benefit. That would not be economically cost benefit. We have so many numbers, so it would be minimum required number of entities. And then we, after that, this number of entities, I don't think that we should go outside. We should inside the group decide how many entities we need, 5, 2, 10, and how many. And then based on the survey, we go to the external selection or decision or internal decision and go on. Thank you.
Caruso, Mark is asking, why do you believe that external, if working with more than one entity would be more costly?
Yeah. No, I am saying that if you do it externally, and then externally you have many in, do you mean externally having several entities or externally having one entity dealing with many subjects? So this is, should be clear. I have no problem to have one entity, several subjects, but I have difficulty to have several entities externally. It would be difficult, the management is under. That is my question. Either it's understanding or not clear. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Caruso. I'm more like you. I'm a single entity person. But this is maybe because that's the best experience I have. But what we will do, we will put these 2 points, single entity, so outside, and we work with an outside entity, or we work with many outside entities. Marika, this will go as well onto the question we will want to discuss, what this would mean in financial and legal terms as well. Legal terms, I don't think it would make a big difference, but in probably in financial terms. So we want to have this as part of the debate with Xavier as well, so he can have a little bit of time. I know, Xavier, you're on the call, aren't you? Are you still with us, Xavier? Okay, he probably isn't, so we will have to send him the question we are debating today for our next call. Next one on the list is Ivan.
Hi, thanks very much. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, wonderful.
Perfect.
Hi, Erica. This is Xavier. Sorry to interrupt. I'm on the call. I just had a
perfect
second time
perfect.
To run you.
Thank you. Thank you for letting us know. Wonderful. Back to you, Ivan.
I think we're a little bit premature in the decision of one entity or multiples. I think we first have to get past the question of whether or not this is something that ICANN does internally or whether or not it's entrusted to external organizations.
Correct. It's part of it, yes.
And I had the fortune, actually, last year of having to work through grant proposals that were done. In this case, it was actually the World Bank that had a division that did the solicitation, and they did the evaluation on behalf of multiple donors behind them, some of which were not even named. And so what happened is you have these donors that entrusted this organization to impartially and competently do the due diligence of applicants and then do a fair and unbiased evaluation based on the criteria they were given by these external organizations. And the complexity and the skill necessary to do this is not something that is easily created. My concern at this point is that if ICANN were to get involved in doing this themselves, they could easily spend well more time creating the evaluation entity than actually executing the program. This is something, you know, that is not going to be undertaken very many times. And like I say, this is a matter of wheel reinvention. There's a number of foundations that exist to do this, that exist to do the due diligence, to do the evaluation, and most importantly, the solicitation. ICANN has its circle of organizations that it knows to contact. You go to organizations like various foundations that exist to distribute money, or groups like the World Bank, they already have massive networks of organizations that are monitoring their solicitations. So we don't have to create that network at all. We know that if we're entrusting it in the hands of some of these organizations, they will be able to put those calls for proposals out into the greatest number of qualified applicants, people that are actively monitoring it. So I'm strongly advocating on behalf of an external entity, if only because it's really, really easy to underestimate the complexity of doing this well for the solicitation, for the due diligence, for the expertise in putting this together, I also don't want to discount the issue of political bias. When you're entrusting an external organization, you get to very finely define, you know, where oversight leaves off and meddling comes in. You don't want any opportunity of political influence in the evaluation criteria. You want to give the expert body, here's the criteria, evaluate it fairly and in an unbiased way. And that way, since they're outside ICANN, there's less possibility of that process being gamed or politically biased. Thank you.
Yeah, agree. I think you captured the essence of what we where we should move forward quite well. So we will put this on the evaluation list with Xavier and Sam as well, and we will not drop the idea to have it done as one of the option scenarios in-house as well. You're absolutely right. Next one is Sebastian.
if my son is working correctly. I don't know.
I can hear you perfectly well. I hope everybody else does.
Thank you very much, Erica. Yeah, I think that Evan gave a very good summary of what we should take care of. But one of the questions is that when we talk about various organizations, maybe it's one way to not have one single set of criteria to deal with. And when we ask a question about outside organization, it could be that I can decide to set up an outside organization to do that, for example, a foundation somewhere else in the world than in the U.S., and to give this organization set up by ICANN all the money and they will do it, or we can decide to that ICANN will distribute money to actually existing organization, not one single. Just to be clear about the image, of course you can give that to one single entity, whatever, the World Bank. I hope that it will not be a U.S. organization, but that's my bias. But we can also decide that we need to find one organization in each region, like we have AIRS, and it's not to say that we will give to those organizations, but to try to have a split the money from ICANN point of view, and then this different organization will themselves split the money to a project or other organization. And I don't think we need to overcomplicate what will be the role of ICANN. I am not sure that we want to be sure that each penny are used in the right sense. We need to be confident that when we give the money, we trust the people. If not, we will spend not just few months or even few years. It will be very, very, very long. And to do in ICANN, I think. And the last question is that I just want to be sure that it's in our bylaws that we can, because we are always talking about ICANN must stay in its field and not do anything outside. Are we sure that it's something we can deal with and it's inside our possibility? If not, we will have to change the bylaw to be sure that we can do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Sebastian. I think I doubt that there will be a possibility to, when you use the word distribute, so just to hand out the money to another entity, I doubt the current structure will allow this. There might be ways of achieving it, but with the current structure, I'm very doubtful, and it's maybe not even recommendable because you have a better control if the money stays with ICANN and only, you know, the money is used each time for the project it is allocated for. Let's assume you have a separate entity. The separate entity would evaluate a project would give its okay, and then the request would go for the allocation to the ICANN, practically to Xavier's department, and it would be drawn from the special line. It's in a moment with a special investor, and it would be then taken from it and would be given to this project. I think this is maybe gives the board more oversight, and I doubt the board will be able to depart from this structure. But we will have the debate next week, and I hope you will be on the call in 2 weeks, actually, Sebastian, when we will discuss all the financial scenarios with Xavier. And then you should ask this question again. We took note of it, but I think we should come back to it again. Caboos, is this a new hand or an old one?
Yeah, it is a new hand.
Please, go on.
Yeah, my comment would be, first, I take the words from Sebastian. We should not overcomplicate the issue. This is first point. Second point, when we talk about external and internal, the same discussions on different aspects when we had this PTI issue was carried out, and we had externally do it, internally do it, finally something like being associated or the subsidiary of the ICANN, an organization. So we should not forget that that possibility also exists, that an organization or an entity be established associated with the ICANN legally inside and operationally outside. So this is something, and we should try to get examples of the previous experience that we have and use them and see whether there is any other organizations or any other experience outside the ICANN for similar but not identical work. But for external, we should not be totally external, because we have discussed that in the PTI, external totally have so many difficulties of connection with the ICANN, but something maybe similar to the PTI being an organization established and associated with the ICANN, but legally external and operationally, sorry, legally internal, operationally external, that's the tell, but this all will come up after the survey. So the only thing is that the survey should be the question totally clear what we're looking for. And we should not overcomplicate by talking about the regions and so on and so forth. This sort of regional arrangement, I don't think that we should bring it here. The issue is much more than that. We should look into the expertise, into the competency, rather than regional or so on. Regional. I am not against or in favor of any organization or any entity from any part of the world. They need to be expertise and to have the competency. That's all. Thank you.
Yes, absolutely, Kavus. Good addition to what Sebastian raised. So I can't see anybody else in the moment. So shall we maybe do the following? Because I just
Erica.
See here. Yeah, sorry. Who is there?
Erica, this is Marika. This is Marika.
Marika,
Sebastian,
please.
Sebastian still has a hand up, and then I am in the queue.
Ah, it's a new hand. Apologies, Sebastian. I thought it's an old hand. Go ahead, Sebastian.
Yes, but Marika was before. Just, I wanted just to
oh,
comment.
Oh, I see Marika with a hand. Strange.
Because
she's go ahead, Sebastian.
She's
I believe
but,
you.
I wanted to give you an image. Yeah, we want to control, and everybody will want to control. But just take, make the parallel between the money we have and we want to distribute and the IP addresses. Distributed by IANA. Do ICANN or IANA control what RIPE NCC or AFRINIC is doing with the IP addresses distributed by IANA or by ICANN? I'm not sure. And maybe it could be a good parallel that we want to do with the money. Give to people we trust, and they will do the job. Thank you.
Yeah. Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. I'm actually just looking for some guidance on where to go next.
Should I maybe summarize what I have in mind, and then you go?
Sure.
Or you want to go first?
No, you go ahead, and then I can see if that makes
if it makes sense. Exactly.
Yeah.
Just be straight. It might not make sense. So I think what we want to do, and what I think we should do, we should actually ask, in particular, Saming Xavier, but practically their departments, but the two, but practically come back to us with a kind of concept how these various things we discussed today, the various structures, would look like from their point of view, so from the legal point of view and from the financial point of view, because each time I would assume they will be designed and look very differently. So internal structure, new unit inside of ICANN, what would it mean? Can be a rogue concept, but I think we do need some kind of concept. Second, externally, and so a new built entity, small one, like new funds are built, which only focuses on this particular work, nothing else, just this work. And then working with outside entities which already exist. Now, the last one, I would say the third option, can be even connected to the first two options. So I don't think so. The last option would be, the third one would be exclusive. So you could argue, even if you have an inside unit, this could still work with outside entities. And if you have an outside unit, a new fund, which is built single for the purpose to disperse the money, could still work with entities. And this was mentioned many times in the chat room. So what this, I think this would capture what we would want to see from coming back if Sam and Xavier agree they can manage to do this, come back to us with some ideas from their side, which we then can evaluate and can add comment to. So back to you, Marika. And then, of course, all the different points which were debated, we would put in as questions to Xavier and Sam as well. Marika.
Yeah, thanks, Erica, and that does definitely help. And I would actually probably ask Xavier and Sam to comment on whether that is something indeed that is feasible, and as well what the time frame we would be for doing so we can decide when the group can come back to that question. The only question I had in that regard is that the survey did show a clear preference for exploring the external option, but I understand from you that you still want to look at the internal to ICANN option as well. Did I understand that?
Yes, correct? I would just want to have it as a concept. I think we shouldn't drop it totally, because I think it just helps us, even if we go for the external path, it helps us to understand that the differences are sometimes important here once you design something new. I think it helps you to understand what the opposite model would actually mean. Even if we neglect it, it is still, I think, helpful. Do we have Sam on the call as well?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, wonderful, Sam. Can we? Sorry to put you into a situation to respond to something like this. Can you do it?
Yeah, I think, you know, starting off probably pretty light and kind of a straw man concept without a lot of effort and building in,
yep,
in detail that would require research. But I think we can do those three kind of sketch out concepts.
Yeah, I would like this.
Yeah.
And maybe from Xavier some numbers. I mean, I think we all understand we are still in a quite early phase. So, but just some ideas, you know, what you think it would mean in budgetary terms. Sam, Xavier, are you there? Let me send him a question.
Yeah, I don't know if he's on the call, but you
yes.
know,
yes.
I definitely work with him on it. I think the budget. Oh, there you are.
Sorry to have interrupted. I understand, and we will be able to work on that with Sam. I want to be really careful, Erica, with the notion of offering numbers. At this stage, without having the objectives of the fund, the mechanisms, and so on, it would be a very speculative, normative, high-level, uncommitting type of exercise, but that's fine. We can proceed with that under that understanding, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. And the sub-questions which we received today, that we can group them related to these three different baskets, practically, or three different environments. Yes, I agree. You have to be very light. And I don't think so. We expect from you precise numbers. But let's assume I can do something which might help you, and maybe somebody in the group can do this as well. Maybe reach out to funds you know. I know some, so because I worked with many funds. So just reach out to them, give them the number, and say it's a 200 million fund. Likely exists. You have to give them a kind of time frame, otherwise they can't work. Let's say maybe 5 years, just to give them some ideas. How many people do you think would be, if you would do it, how many people would work on this? Just to have a rogue idea. I can send out a question to somebody in the fund and just get some numbers back, and maybe one or two others can do this as well, because I'm pretty sure you all know somebody. Just send them a question, ask them this question, so that we get some kind of ideas back. Will this help you, Xavier, just so that you are a little bit clearer about what you are dealing with? I see Mark is too, Sylvia say it's too premature, okay, not knowing the objectives. Do we need to know the objectives for this one, for this question, Sylvia? Yeah, Mark, you're right, the 5-10%, we can work with this. Okay, good. So keep it super light. Just maybe compare inside and outside. So maybe not don't go into the numbers. Look into the are there different legal requirements? Are there different monitoring requirements? I'm sure there are. Are there different oversight mechanisms? And just look into these questions and ignore the funding for the moment. I don't think so. We have agreement on this one. Good.
Eric, I see.
Caboose?
Yes, Elisa. Maybe I was not clear. I think there is no absolute external and absolute internal beneficiaries. We have similar, not identical, similar survey study under the transition of the naming. And we had many meetings, and finally, after a lot of discussions, they come up with the idea that it should be sort of the hybrid. That means legally internal, financially external, but not totally external from legal and financial, not totally internal from legal and financial. So hybrid is also an option for the issue. This is something that we need to take into account, has many advantages, and there has been a lot of studies of the two consulting legal organization or legal entity outside the ICANN for the transition of the IANA function, and come up after 3 months or 4 months of discussions to this hybrid system. So this hybrid also is work and is workable.
Yeah. I agree with you. And even even if you would have an outside or internal, you would still go for a kind of hybrid.
Yeah.
Structure. I think you're absolutely right. Thank you for making this point.
Yeah, I have another question to you,
yes,
Erica, is that did we think of the cost of these entities? If we establish entities, internal or external, mostly external or hybrid, what is the cost of that to the fund of the money that we have? How much does it cost? Is it a big organization? How much is he invoiced, ICANN, for doing this job? It is beneficial, and that is something that's really important to think, having multiple organizations and multiple entities for various things. If you think of these are not free of charge, these are not gratitude. This is something that costs the invoice. For that, because they engage the people, and these people, they are experts, they are costly people, and so on. So we have to think of not create something that at the end of X million that you have, half of that goes to the cost of organization, and only half remains for the actions that we need. This is something very important we have to think of. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Caboose. I think that's understood. But just imagine one thing where you could, for example, we could come to the idea, where we would say we want to invest more in developing countries, and we would want to work with a particular organization which already has experience. So there could be a logic to it, but I think your point is well taken and we have noted it. Sylvia, please.
Thank you, Erica. Look, I think I'm a bit confused about what the methodological idea is then behind trying to separate all these questions that we have on the survey and the charter questions that we have been we have the task to work on. If for a conference call, we are going to address portions of this conversation that were supposed or are supposed to be addressed on a separate question. So these things about the percentage and the overhead and the cost and all of that, that's a separate charter question that we have another survey and another call to deal with. So this one, I'm
yeah, yeah, Sylvia, you're right. We're not discussing this right now.
The only way that we can make progress on these conversations is that if we can use the surveys and the input that has been provided to kind of steer the conversation forward. And if you go and you hear the transcripts, you know, you read the transcript and you hear the recordings from a previous calls, we are going, you know, jumping up and down different questions, and it's very difficult to feel that we are moving forward. So Marika has done a great job of trying to organize us through the mind maps and share that information across, and we have the answers from other people on their surveys. And I find a lot of consensus, or let's say like guidelines that are emerging of that. And I am really concerned that if we keep jumping up and down different questions, we are never going to be able to move forward. So I encourage the group to, yes, there are a bunch of things of these elephants that we will need to discuss, but that was the way, that was the reason behind splitting all the questions on the charter questions like that, you know, so that we can, you know, slowly move around and discuss issues, but with a certain focus. So I think it's important that we try to focus on question 7 and then try to figure out how we can move ahead on this one, and then we'll see. Eventually we will come to the issues around the percentages and all of that, and those comments will be noted. But I really, there is a point of order at the moment, and I don't think, I mean, if we are sharing and asking other organizations for input, then we can do it between calls and then use that input in the surveys that we set forward and share information on the list. I don't think, you know, generating, contacting external organizations out of the blue and asking for these kinds of questions can actually generate a lot of expectations that might be hard to deal with. So I think it's important that we keep the process as organized, following the charter questions and trying to focus on the surveys and the input that the community is giving us. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Sylvia. I think it's well understood, and it's good to keep us focused. I agree with you. I haven't seen us departing so much, with the exception of few comments and points maybe, but I'm glad you made this point. Evan, you want to come back? It's a new hand, isn't it?
Yes, I want to support Sylvia. I think it's premature to actually start talking to external organizations. I think there's a number of questions we have to resolve internally first, and specifically the one of internal or external. One thing that has not been talked about yet is that what is the cost of actually creating this entity internally to do the evaluation and to do it well enough? The cost of this, I think, has the potential of being substantial. I mean, there were comments earlier about, you know, what is going to be the cost of an external entity. An external entity will have a fairly fixed cost as a percentage of the total fund being administered. This is not out of the ordinary, where there's an overhead that is charged by the evaluating organization as part of their fee for administering the criteria for the fund. Whereas if ICAM were to get into this in its own, it is a totally unknown cost. It is a total, a separate budget needs to be created for this, a separate, you know, perhaps do new staff have to be hired simply for the purposes of doing this work? And for that reason, Marika, I'm going to suggest that this is a question I think that needs to be answered very early on in the process, that before we can start to get too far, we need to know, even from a matter of cost, is this something that ICANN is going to do, or is it something that ICANN is going to have an evaluation process to work with external entities. I honestly think this is going to be one of the first questions that needs to be answered before we can, with any real assurance, start moving down other paths. So I would sort of make the case and push back that I don't think that the option of internal or external should remain on the table for too long, that there needs to be some kind of closure to that decision. Thanks.
Yeah, I agree. That was the reason why I asked you all whether we should not give this these two questions back to Sam and to Xavier to evaluate this, and then to come back to us with a clearer understanding what it would mean for them. And it included, in my eyes, so Sylvia, my point was not related to the how much it would cost overall, but it was just related internal or external. But I understand your point, and we don't have to go into this and ask this question right now to Xavier. We can do it at a later stage. But I think Ivan is right. This is my point, why I think it would be good to have a clearer understanding about the factors we have to look into, and we need to get this from Sam and from Xavier. So my question back, if we have an agreement here, I will give it to back to Marika, maybe to summarize the point so that we have an understanding. And we already have an okay from Sam and from Xavier. So, Marika, would you be able to summarize these points we just discussed, and then we have a clear idea what we want to do?
So this is Marika. What I had noted as an action item is that the next step would be to ask ICANN Finance and Legal to provide their input on the different options that have been discussed during today's meeting, one of which is the internal structure, a new unit within ICANN, and then externally a newly to be built entity that would only focus on this work, or externally working with already existing entities, noting that the latter option could also be in combination with the other two options. And then, you know, as part of the notes, it has been spelled out as well that an important question in that regard is the cost that might be associated with creating such an internal structure, and the question of whether input can be provided on that as well. That is at least what I've heard and think where the group landed.
Yeah. If you do not agree, just please either write in the chat or raise your hand, or if you want to add something to the action list.
This is Xavier. I'm fine with that, Erica. Thank you.
I give it a second. Just wait. Caboose?
Yes, Marika just mentioned external, internal. I think we have also talked about the third option, the hybrid. Thank you.
Yes, it's clear. We put the I think the hybrid is a subversion of if we go for external. We always will have to go for a kind of hybrid, because the monitoring and the evaluation will always have to be done very likely by ICANN. So, but anyhow, it's understood. Okay, no other point, no comments. Fine,
sorry.
Agree.
Sorry.
Perfect. Ivan, you have another point?
Well, no, it's a confusion, because I hear the term hybrid talked about a lot, and I really have no idea what people are talking about when they say hybrid. I mean, there's certain things that have to be done by an organization. Either this is done within ICANN or it's not. I mean, it's taken for granted that ICANN will be and its community will be presenting and creating the evaluation criteria, that it will have a hand in managing things. But before people start tossing around the concept of hybrid, I'd like to be a little bit more specific about what that means, because, you know, does it mean that 10% is done externally or that 10% is done internally?
Go
ahead. I see. You triggered a new debate. So I have Stephanie and Caboose.
Yes.
Probably to this particular point, if we can focus on this one right now. Stephanie, please.
Thanks very much. I was going to type it in the chat, but I'm afraid I seem to be having trouble typing in chat. Stephanie Perrin, for the record. My point was about the hybrid nature of this. Evan did say a couple of comments ago that we have no idea what costs if we were to outsource this, basically. I think that it's quite possible to split up various roles and tasks, depending on the advice that we get from legal and from Xavier about what we have to do ourselves as an organization and what we can delegate. There's a lot of work involved in evaluating these proposals, particularly if we decide to do a few big ones and a lot of little ones. I see a lot of support in the polling data for helping capacity development in developing countries and that sort of thing. Those might be smaller contracts, you know. So until we it's a chicken and egg problem, until we decide how we want to, what kind of projects we want to fund, we really don't know what kind of mechanisms we need help with and whether it all gets outsourced or whether we can outsource a certain amount of the evaluation of tasks. So I'd certainly like to keep the hybrid model on the table and explore, get some legal advice on just exactly what particular functions we can split out and seek contract help with, because I'm sure that's quite doable, getting a contract.
Thank you so much, Stephanie. That's very helpful. And I think you're right. It might help when once Sam and Xavier sit down and do the review of the question we debated today and the structures we discussed, maybe to look already at the potential possibilities to let certain work done by other entities, what Cavus and you refer to as hybrid options. So if this is possible already, it might be a bit too early maybe for both to do this right now. We might have to decide about different aspects first before they can do it. But if it is possible, it would certainly help us in our debate. But we have in principle an understanding and we have an agreement from Sam and Xavier. Thank you so much, both of you, for doing this. Can we get a timetable from you? Can you do this in until the next call, or do we have already too much work we need to discuss on the next call, and shall we schedule it in 4 weeks' time? What do you think is feasible? Sam, Xavier, Marika. Sam, do you have an idea? 2 weeks' time or rather 4 weeks' time?
Realistically, just given some August schedules, 4 weeks is probably more realistic.
Perfect. Yeah, let's work this to 4 weeks because I think we already have so much to discuss next week and our next call, not next week, but at our next call. Cavus, can we keep it with this? Can we, or is it, yeah. I think we have understood your, yeah, go ahead.
There is something that the gentleman has spoke of misunderstood situation. Hybrid does not mean percentage of the work done outside person. Hybrid means from legal and financial, because whatever we created would be under the overall ICANN organization. It must comply with certain rules and procedures and course of action and so on and so forth. So what the people has done for the transition from the IANA function in the second report, talking about how this organization has a legal relationship with outcome, how this entity has financial relationship with the outcome. So this is the sort of the thing. Hybrid does not mean percentage. Hybrid means that we have creating an entity or entities which are legally inside the ICANN and financially outside the ICANN to have its independence and so on and so forth. That is the meaning of the hybrid. It's not percentage. And as you mentioned, we are not arrived at that yet, but it's a part of external, not totally external. Because it should have a link with the ICANN. So it should be similar to creating an organization or an entity which is subsidiary to the ICANN, doing this sort of the things legally with the ICANN financially outside the ICANN to maintain the conflict of interest and so on. So this situation has already been tabulated in the one complete 3-month study. So maybe Xavier and others will look at that one, and we should not talk about percentage of the work internal. This is not at all what I said. Thank you. Misunderstood.
Yeah, but you triggered a good debate, so we will keep your point in mind, which already always needs to be done, whatever I can do to keep this in mind. And second, we have a different understanding about hybrid as well, I don't want to go back now, but I think it is understood, and we can review this debate once we have the response from Sam and from Xavier. So let's finalize this topic point, because otherwise we can't move forward. I think it helped us immensely to get moved forward with our framing of our topics. Point 4, Marika, review response to survey on objectives of fund allocation and discuss next step.
Yes, thanks, Erica. This is Marika. So I'll just pull up the mind map that I shared ahead of the meeting. You also have the link. I also shared the link to the detailed survey responses. Of course, you're all encouraged to review those in details. And apologies in advance for not having been able to group more of the examples together, but as the survey closed late last night, and there were quite a few responses that came in, which of course is a very good thing. I was only able at this stage just to pull everything into the mind map. So what you see on the mind map is basically a reorganization of the original objectives that were identified according to the score that they achieved in the ranking. Everyone was asked to rank the different objectives from 1 to 7. So this represents an overall score that is calculated based on that ranking. And then underneath each of those objectives, you'll find the examples that the respondents have provided that from their perspective represent a project that would fit under that overall objective and would also meet would also be consistent with ICANN's mission as, you know, one of the requirements for fund allocation. And what the table doesn't include is, you know, we also asked the question for everyone to identify for the examples that they had identified how it was deemed in consistency with ICANN's mission, but it seems that most people actually fill that in, explaining you know, the benefits of the project and why it would be a good idea. So it is probably an area where more work will need to be undertaken to review you know, the consistency and how a determination is made whether or not a certain example is consistent with ICANN's mission. I also know that, you know, there are quite a few ideas or suggestions that are probably duplicative. Some of them are very high level, so again, more detail may be needed in order to make that assessment. There are a couple that do go into a great detail, so hopefully those provide a good platform for the group to make an assessment of consistency. And of course, now a next question will be for the group as well, based on the ranking and the scoring, whether there is a way to potentially reduce the number of overall objectives or consolidate, and also look, for example, you know, is there a need to reword or explain some of these overall objectives in further detail? And you know, one example there might be there's one that refers to the open internet, and it may be necessary to actually define what is meant with the open internet to be able to really determine what would fall or should fall underneath that. So this is what you currently see in front of you. I do realize that most of you probably had very little time to review this in detail. So, Erica, I don't know if you want to have a conversation now around how, you know, to take this to the next level.
I have two questions, yeah. To you, actually, or one question to you and then one question to the group. So one to you. Could we evaluate this? I'm happy to work with you on this one. and the rest of the team, your team, can we put, would we be able to group these replies we have received? So to say, like, we build 6 clusters or 10 clusters, could we work on this and just group them together? So let's say they all, one goes into more tech area, another one all related to capacity building, another one all related to, in a broad sense, to developing countries. Could we do this? Just build clusters?
Yeah, this is Marika. Yes, I think so. I think if you look at in each of the objectives, there are...
Yeah, I'm looking at some. Yeah, where I see it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think one thing to consider is as well, you know, there is potential overlap where, you know, certain projects could fall probably under several headings. And one thing,
yeah,
like in looking at the overall objectives, and again, this is just, you know, looking through it and my personal thinking, and whether it would be a consideration for the group to look at what is currently identified as the number one, as a kind of overarching objective, where some of the others might be subcategories or sub-priorities, to be able to say, you know, this is the overall objective, and within that, these are some of the priority areas that are identified. Because, for example, focusing on development, distribution, and evolution of the internet, you could consider that, you know, capacity building might be a subcategory,
yeah,
of that. So that may be a potential way of approaching or considering this further.
I think we should do this, and then we should keep the list the way you have it, but maybe we should do a review. I'm happy to work with you on this one. Give it back to our group here, to our members, so that we then can have a debate, because I'm just wondering, maybe out of this could come a kind of cluster we see, where we would then in the future want to say, you know, 20% goes into this cluster and 30% in this cluster. I don't know. I'm just guessing in a moment, but it could help us to such kind of framing. If you agree, or if nobody disagrees with what I just said, I think Marika, and I work with you, Marika, on this one, so you're not always alone on doing this immense work. And then we can send it back, and Joki as well, and everybody else. We give it back to this group for review. The other one is the open internet. And there, I think, Marika and I, we need all of your help, because I think the open internet is, when you look at it, that we have connected to the mission statement, it's a very broad topic. So I think we will need from all of you a little bit of guidance, and maybe review the concept of open internet, and maybe send us back some ideas how you would frame it in relation to DNS and our mission statement. It could be that you would say all project, concrete project, technical project will have to have an open source component. Could be one understanding of open internet. It could be different other ideas. So I think we would appreciate it if we would get some ideas and feedback from you, how you would frame the concept of open internet within our environment and mission statement.
Erica, this is Marika.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to answer a question in the chat from Mark. Yeah, and just to know, correct, what is here in the mind map is indeed a distilled version that focused on the scoring of the objectives as well as the examples identified. The survey contains much more input, and in certain cases, indeed, where someone already mentioned a certain example and just repeated that, I didn't necessarily include that. So you're, of course, all encouraged as well to review the full results. A number of people also provided additional comments. And as I noted with regards to linking it to the mission, you know, some did indeed refer back to ICANN's mission, but many focused more on benefits of the project itself. So, again, it's probably where we need to look back and see if we can distill from there. But, again, it may be easier as well once we've done the clustering or grouping together of some of these concepts, and maybe are able to translate those into a more kind of general description of an example, and that may make it easier then as well to link it back. So I hope that that explains.
Yeah. Yeah, Vale, that's exactly the point what we discussed, because some ideas overlap, so we want to build these kind of clusters and then see if you agree with these clusters. And Judith, you have some great ideas. We have seen them. So if others have more understanding about how we can frame the open internet in relation to our environment, this would be helpful. Just for an understanding, we could add this point to the list which we have in front of us, so we have a clearer understanding. Great. Any other comment? Ching?
Erica, this is Ching. Yes, thank you. This is Ching Chao for the recording. I think I probably should raise it here and speaking as a representative from CCNSO is that I like the format for the survey. So in the beginning, we get to read again about the ICANN missions, et cetera, et cetera. I think one of the things that we really need to a clear understanding from a CCTLD point of view is that whether the promotion of the CCTLD fits in into the mission that we are talking about here, because reading from the text is that the focus is primarily is for the GTLD part. So I think maybe it's for some of us in working with the staff and actually figuring out what's there for the CCTLD here. And I think first of all, it's trying to get an understanding, and second is that once again, maybe it fits within the open internet part or something else. I would just like to bring up this point. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a good point. Marika, would you feel comfortable if we keep this list open and would receive new topics like the one Ching is raising, or the clarification or ideas about how open an internet could be understood from Judith? Could we just add these comments in the to the list which we already have?
This is Marika. It would probably be easier if people just send it by email and in specific response,
yes,
to maybe the mind maps that we inserted there, because I think if we start adding it to the survey, we end up going back and forth, and maybe
easier. That's a good point.
And I don't know either if it's worth doing that after we've had a chance to look at the clusters, because, again, I think the idea of the clusters would be as well to generalize some of the terminology which may potentially address Ching's question, but of course, if it doesn't, that needs to be recognized and addressed.
Yeah, let's do it like this. Let's do the clusters, but we noticed the comments raised in the chat already today, and then we present the clusters to this group, and then we can see what is missing and how we want then to proceed. If you want to do an extended survey based on the clusters, or if we can sort this out during the discussion which we will have. Perfect. I like this. That's a good one, Marika. Thank you so much. Anybody else on this topic? No? Okay. Point five. I think point five is just the a reminder that we still would love to receive from you more questions for our external experts. And looking back to some of the discussions we had today, maybe these are some discussions you want to actually debate with the external experts. For example, the internal-external, because I'm pretty sure that's not the first time asked to an organization. Did you prefer to handle it internally, or did you prefer to have your own structure built? Or did you just attach it to your already existing structure? So if you could just maybe review the topics which were important for you today, and then maybe put them into this Google list. We have a common Google document where you can all add your questions. This would be fantastic. Maybe, Marika, maybe what we should do, because you will send out the summary later of our talking points today, maybe we can attach again the link to the Google document.
Yes, Erica, this is Marika. Yes, definitely so. The link is also in the agenda that was circulated. And if I can go 1 minute back to the previous topic, if you allow me.
As much as you want.
Thank you. Because one thing we didn't discuss or consider yet, whether we're already at a stage where we want to discard certain objectives. And we may not be able to decide that now, but of course that would also help focus the work. I think in the scoring, you can see that there's a clear support for, I think, the top four, and then it seems to dwindle down. So at some point, the CCWG will need to consider, are some of the other objectives still relevant? Do they need to be specifically called out? Or again, as I mentioned before, maybe there is a way where you have an overall objective on the which you identify a number of priority areas, but it, of course, doesn't necessarily exclude some of the other topics that are identified. And I said, some of those other topics are more of a relatively general nature, so as such may still fit within some of the other objectives identified. So I just wanted to highlight and flag that. And, of course, if people want to comment on that, they're more than welcome to.
Yeah, you're right. So it's not just the clustering which we needed to look into, but the objectives as well, and we already have a kind of hit list of objectives. You're absolutely right. Maybe we can highlight them in the, once we do the cluster, maybe we can highlight these top objectives as well again. Yeah. I think there's something coming in. Caboos. Why we divided questions to be answered internally and externally. Caboos, we had a discussion about this, that we like to invite external experts and that we have a discussion with them, how they built their own foundation. So this is a discussion with experts which have undertaken a similar exercise. So that we can get from them some advice. To be able to do this, we can't ask them all the questions we are debating internally, because we are such a special group and focused on such a special environment. You can't assume that an expert who is working on, like, for example, the Gates Foundation on medicine, or somebody else who is working on other issues, they will not automatically understand what we do. So we need a bit of clarity about what we want to ask. And we like to send some of these questions ahead of the call to these experts, so that when we have the call, we can really focus on the key issues, and they understand actually what we want to hear from them. Because otherwise they are a little bit lost with our, topics. Is there something else which we have to go look into, Matthew? Are you supporting Judith? I don't think so. There's something else which I have overlooked here. Yeah, Sylvia is saying it's a way to encourage members to participate. Okay. I think we are pretty much done. If there's no other topic which you want to raise, Marika, just for an understanding, what is the timetable we have now scheduled for the calls with the external expert? Do we already have a timetable and understanding when we want to do this?
This is Marika. I think we originally identified for such a call to potentially take place at the end of August, but I think it looks at this stage, also looking at the questions, that some more work is needed to identify specific questions, and more specifically looking at which are questions that need to be answered now before we move into the next phase. So it may be worth encouraging everyone to look at the table as it currently stands. Also factor in the conversation we had today and on the previous call. Look at, indeed, the three questions we've identified as requiring a response before we move into the next phase, and focus on those specific questions so that I think we can then identify which ones of those need to be addressed now, and then how to move them forward, because I think we've also discussed maybe it's worth sending some of those out through email first and then have a follow-up conversation when initial responses are back. So we don't have a set timetable yet. It looks like it's something that requires a bit more work, but hopefully we can flesh some of that out soon and then identify indeed the steps to be taken to get to that conversation.
Okay, thank you. So we are more thinking about September, probably.
Yes, I would think so.
Good. Okay, let's review this. We can review this together and then make a proposal. Any other point? We have one from Mark. Mark is wondering whether we received a reply from the board to our letter. We haven't. But I don't think so. We expected one, and we were practically not asking for one. But I see we have two board members here, Asha and Becky. Would you want to comment on this one? I'm not sure if they hear us. Asha, Becky? No. Okay. It's late in Asia. So she might not be able to hear us right now. Oh, there she is. She can't speak, Asha. Yeah, no comment for now. Okay. Mark, we can come back to this point, but we didn't actually expect a letter. And I had a short meeting with Steve at our last meeting, and I don't think so there was the need to reply. But we will follow up on this one just to get an understanding. I agree with you. So last item is point 6 on the agenda, confirm next steps and next meeting. So our next call is on 10th of August, again at 14 UTC. Thanks so much, everybody. And we've finished the call for today. Bye-bye to everybody.
Thanks all. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, everyone. Today's meeting is adjourned. Operator, could you please disconnect all lines? And to everyone, have a great day.